a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We'll call the House Transportation Committee to order. If you can kind of, we do count quickly. There's a few members that are excused, and some will be coming in as we start. But with that, we'll call it to order, and we'll welcome those on the World Wide Web. And with that, the Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Elliott, Ironclad, Kopp,
here.
Lang,
here.
McLaughlin,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Russell, Shrimp,
here.
Steele,
here.
Street,
here.
Verschio, Junkie,
here.
And Krebs.
Seven?
Yep.
Okay, we have a quorum, so we will, I'll take this liberty to remind you about your cell phone policy, that put it on vibrate or off or silent so that we do not disrupt those that are testifying before us, and just as a courtesy to those fellow members. So hopefully everybody's got there in the right order. We have one page. You know, we finally braved the weather to get here. So if you wouldn't mind coming and turning on the mic and introducing yourself and tell us who you are and where you're from. Is it on?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm Molly Webster, and I'm from Rapid City.
Well, welcome, and thank you for spending 2 weeks of your time with us. I hope you have a educational experience, enjoyable. So that the committee knows, Chairperson Krebs is en route. She wanted to thank the department for getting the roads open in a timely manner this morning and doing a good job. I told her we will expect a road condition report when she finally gets here. She anticipates arriving about 7, but she's, I mean, 11, excuse me. So she said go ahead and take them, their agency bills, and I just told her to be safe and arrive in one piece. So she is en route. We've talked with the advent of cell phones, we've been visiting on a regular basis. These bills are both hers. They're the summer study bills. They're style and form, pretty much what came out of the agency review. So I am going to... Oh, I got to back up. I'm glad we got good staff. We've all been provided with minutes of the last meeting. Everybody's had a chance to look them over. Any corrections or discussion on the minutes from our previous meeting? If not, the chair will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Moved by Steele, seconded by Shrimp. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. They are approved. Now we can go on. Now we're getting done. So with Chair, Madam Chair being the prime sponsor, I will pitch him off. I'll pass the gavel to Representative Deal to run the meeting. I'll come back for discussion and voting, and then I'll do 1007. Is there any questions before I pass the gavel to Representative Steele? If not, it's your show.
Thank you, Representative Jenke. We have a bill number, House Bill number 1006, and we're now open for testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson Steele. This is Representative Ken Junkie from District 21, and I was assigned this last summer for the Agency Review Committee, Summer Study, and the Long-Term Highway Needs. So I was unfortunate to miss a couple of the days in August, but I still feel I got a idea what 1006, it's like the title says, it's the repeal, update, make form and style revisions to certain statutes, and it's the typical agency review that we do every 10 years to kind of change verbiage. And Mr. Chairman, there will be an amendment when we get to committee action that will be circulated. So rather than take the department's time, I will yield that to the department, and I'll stand by for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Are there other proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, good morning. Bill Nevin with the Department of Transportation. I didn't realize I'd be testifying this morning when I came in here, but I'll be. I'm always happy to visit with you folks, so I'll briefly go through some of the what this bill does. As many of you know who are on the summer study committee, we've reviewed this a little bit before. This is really House Bill 1006, a comprehensive revamping, if you will, of Title 31 of the South Dakota Code, designed to eliminate obsolete and superfluous or unnecessary provisions, make form and style changes to clean up the statutory language, update references to outside source materials to current volumes or editions, and amend certain sections to reflect organizational changes that have occurred since the enactment of the statutes involved. And if I would, Mr. Chairman, I'll just briefly give you some examples of each of those kinds of things and then stand by for any questions.
Yes, please do.
For example, there are numerous provisions, numerous sections in this title throughout the chapters that are obsolete. Statutes relating, for example, to the time when the counties actually acquired and constructed the state highway system. Statutes authorizing the acquisition through bonding of railroad facilities, which have long since been completed and the bonds retired and so forth. As well as statutes authorizing the state trunk system to be revised to accommodate construction of the Missouri River dams. Again, all of these are no longer relevant today. In no other cases, they've been completed, and so these provisions are now obsolete, and this bill will eliminate those obsolete provisions. In addition, there are a few instances where the statute is no longer necessary or is superfluous to another statute. For example, there's a couple of cases where there's a severability clause in the chapter, which simply reiterates judicially pronounced rules of statutory construction in South Dakota. They really serve no purpose in being in the code. Primarily, the bill contains form and style changes. For example, replaces the Department of Transportation is hereby authorized to with the Department may. For example, eliminates shall constitute with constitutes. Those kinds of form and style changes to eliminate superfluous language, etc. Shall be construed to authorize is being replaced with authorizes. It'll save some printing costs, apparently, as well. In addition, it updates certain references to the Code of Federal Regulations that are referenced in various sections of the title to current editions of that of those publications, the Code of Federal Regulations. And finally, with respect to organizational changes or name changes, one example is that it updates Division of Service to the Visually Impaired to Division of Service to the Blind and Visually Impaired, which is currently the name now of that unit. It updates American Association of State Highway Officials to American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials, ASHTO, which most of you are familiar with. So those are a quick rundown of the examples of changes being made by this bill, Mr. Chairman, and I'll stand by if there were any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Nibbins. Appreciate that clarification, and we always like to see where they're going to cut costs. Any other proponents? Any other proponents? If not, we'll close that and we'll go to any opponents. Any opponents today? No, if not, we will close that and we'll go to committee questions. We're flying right along here. Yes, sir. Representative Russell.
Mr. Nevin, if you could. Unfortunately, I didn't have the benefit of the summer study, so as I was reading some of this, I particularly early on in the reading, I had noticed that there were quite a few repealers as it related to counties, and I was just I was interested in knowing, you know, it appeared that there were a number of statutes that were being repealed as it related to joint agreements with counties, things of that nature, and I was just wondering if you could give us a little bit more information as it related to that. And what I'm, section 29 through, 39 approximately, maybe even a little longer than that. Do you have any specific recollection?
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Representative Russell. My recollection is I believe most of those statutes in those sections from section 24, 25 at sequence really were enacted, as I indicated, at the time that the counties acquired and built the state highway system, although the Department of Transportation existed and oversaw the state system. And I think these statutes primarily related to the cooperation between the Department of Transportation in its oversight capacity and the counties in their actual acquisition and construction capacities to help construct and maintain the state system. So I hope that kind of answers that question.
Mr. Chairman, that does. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes. Okay. Representative
Mr. Chair, for Mr. Nevin again, I guess this is more of a question on historical things. As I see we're delegating this appointments to the governor. Has that always been the manner in which this has been, these boards have been developed?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McLaughlin, yes, I believe it is, that the governor has always been the entity, if you will, to appoint members of the Transportation Commission. Yeah.
And a follow-up?
I'm a
Representative Jinky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Nevin, is that another one of those confirmations that are done by the Senate? I mean, these commission members, are they, as they're appointed, you know, some of these commissions, the Senate confirms them and some they don't. And if you don't have that, I didn't read it in there, and maybe it's not, doesn't need to be in statute, but if you know the answer, I just was my own information.
I'm not, Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, I'm not absolutely certain without looking it up, but I do not believe the Senate it confirms members of the Transportation Commission. But I can certainly find that.
Thank you, Mr. Nevin. Any other committee questions? Any other questions? If not, we'll move to committee discussion and committee action.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Representative, I move to pass.
Second.
I believe there is an amendment.
On the amendment, I have an amendment here, which is House Bill 1006 to be amended on page 44, line 12 of the printed bill, overstrike everything after department.
Okay, and I believe everybody has a copy of that amendment.
And then on page 44, line 13, overstrike 31-29-14.
Okay. And do we have a, it's moved, do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
Okay. Seconded by Representative Junkie. And Dave, you have a comment?
Just a brief explanation. What this amendment does is, when we were drafting this, we made the changes in the first section, section 152, and we, at that time we didn't know what we were going to do with the following section, and it was later determined to repeal 31-29-14, and when we did that, we neglected to make the change in the previous section. So what this amendment does is it just reflects that 3129.14 is going to be repealed, so we're removing the reference to that section in Section 152.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other questions, discussion on this? If not, it will be a voice vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it, and we will go on with the voting on the bill. And the secretary will take the roll.
We got to have a motion.
We got to have a motion first.
I started with it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's finish with that.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass as amended.
Okay. Thank you. Sand seconded. Verschio. Thank you. Okay, I believe we're to that point now where the secretary can take the roll.
Representatives Elliott, Ironcloud?
No.
Cobb?
Yes.
Lang?
Aye.
McLaughlin?
Aye.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Street?
Aye.
Verschio?
Aye.
Junkie?
Aye.
Okay. We have, it's 10-1.
Okay, it does pass 10-1, and we will go from there to bill number 1007. Do we have a proponent?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is I'm Representative Kent Junkie from District 21, member of the summer study, and again, I'm kind of with Madam Chair Krebs being the prime sponsor on these, and we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants, which I operate like anyway. So, but she had the speaking points. So when I got here this morning, I asked the department to carry the ball with this. And for the committee's information, the one of the reference people is tied up with the weather in Minneapolis with this bill, which deals with aeronautics. If he's unable to be here, but we do have staff from the Department of Transportation that will do most of the talking points that Chairperson Krebs has. So, again, I will yield my time and your time to the department if that's so desirable, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Janke. Yes, is there other opponents for this bill? Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Kevin Tweed. I'm Deputy Secretary at the DOT. And here today on 1007, this is much the same as what you just heard from Mr. Nevin, a cleanup bill, but it's on the aeronautics side. It's an act to repeal, update, and make form and style revisions to certain statutes related to the Aeronautics Commission. This bill came out of the Legislative Summer Committee on Long-Term Highway Needs and the Department of Transportation Agency Review. It is classified as a cleanup bill following that agency review and includes those changes to form and style. There are also eight sections of law where obvious changes were recommended by LRC and were agreed to by DOT. Aeronautics was a department in the in-state government until 1973. In 1973, aeronautics was moved to the DOT. Many changes have occurred in aeronautics and aviation over time, and the laws have not necessarily reflected those changes. Some of the laws date back to the 1930s. Besides the normal changes to form and style, the bill, the following examples indicate types of changes being made in the proposed bill. 50-2-2-1. Says the commission may adopt rules for air instruction, navigation facilities, and intrastate airlines. The FAA regulates air instruction. The state owns no navigation facilities, and the state's attempt at an intrastate airline failed in the early 1990s. 50-2-14 requires the commission to perform rescue work. The commission is not a rescue agency, nor does it have equipment or personnel to conduct rescue. in talking to one of our long-term employees that had been there 37 years, it never happened in those 37 years. So it's a good example of an outdated law. 50-11-18 says registration fees for aircraft are in lieu of personal property taxes on aircraft. The state has no personal property tax on aircraft. So here's another law that no longer applied. So in general, aeronautics has changed with many of the activities being conducted by the FAA and not the states. They're preempted. And the DOT does not have a problem with the proposed House Bill 1007, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Tweed. Any other proponents? Any other proponents? If not, we'll open it to any opponents. Any opponents? If not, we'll close that section and go to committee questions. Any committee questions? Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is more of a just an informational question on my own behalf. Could someone from the department perhaps address the relationship on Civil Air Patrol? And if, how do you coordinate? I don't think it's directly the responsibility, but what is the relationship between the Civil Air Patrol and the aeronautics?
Mr. Chairman, I can do my best at that, and we'll see how it works out. The Civil Air Patrol is not part of DOT or the commission. I believe it's part of, Military and Veterans Affairs.
Or is it?
Yeah, and so they are actually mostly funded from that agency, although there is a relationship. I know they come in and we do fund them somewhat. Each year they have some requests to us, although we want those to run through that department also. And then there's a relationship in that they do come to the commission and testify from time to time.
Follow up?
Yes.
For instance, if there's a plane down or something, the Civil Air Patrol would be out checking for that or some other emergency. How do they coordinate and what role is there with the department?
Mr. Chairman, department has very little to do with any of that as far as any coordination or are we part of an emergency operations center for that? Civil Air Patrol must get their orders from somebody else because I know we're not involved when there's a downed aircraft or a missing pilot or something like that.
Okay. Any follow-up? No?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tweed. You have a question? Okay. Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Tweed, so this commission is separate from the Department of Transportation Committee. I mean, this is a seven-member board. And how often do they meet? I think you told us last summer, but I'm trying to remember.
Mr. Chairman, they meet approximately monthly also, and it is indeed a separate commission. There's a Transportation Commission and an Aeronautics Commission, and you are indeed correct. One's nine-member, one's seven-member. And they do miss a couple of meetings in the wintertime. It's not strictly a monthly, but they do skip a meeting or two in the winter.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Tweed. Any other committee questions? Okay, we will move then to committee discussion or action. Yes, Representative Russell.
No.
Okay, and a second. Got a second from Representative Kopp. Okay, Secretary will then take the roll.
Representative Elliot Ironcloud.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Lang.
Aye.
McLaughlin.
Aye.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Street?
Aye.
Vercio?
Aye.
And Junkie?
Aye.
11-0.
Okay, you passed unanimously. Thank you. I will now turn it back to Representative Junkie for the chair.
Thank you, Chairman Steele. See, that kind of clears our agenda for today. For the committee's information, there is two bills that have been posted for a Thursday meeting that Madam Chair has made me aware of. So we will be meeting on Thursday. How are we doing for bills, Diane? Are we getting?
We have got bill log out here. This is what we have. I don't think we have been given any more other than this. We have 33 and 34 on for. I believe that's what we have.
Okay, we believe 1033, 1034 have been posted for Thursday, and then we have...
It's on the Internet. So.
And it's on the Internet, and it'll be you'll be getting them to notification later, your books. And then we have 1035, 1042, so I'm
34 and 35, excuse me. 34
okay.
And 35.
34, let me correct that. 1034, 1035 are posted for Thursday. You know, with the weather, we're going to, sometime we're going to put our feet to the fire and get all of our work done that we've missed these hours. But, you know, fortunately, we haven't missed any committee meetings meeting on Tuesday. But we'll just have to get her done. So with any questions of the committee, if there's no further comments from the committee members, Representative McLaughlin.
Could the department give us a little road explanation as to what's been done or the problems or where we are or where the Interstate 29 now open or kind of an update on
I noticed
the weather
secretary
and the
was
roads.
Trying to look over your shoulders to see who was. We're waiting for Representative Krebs to give us a road report. But if you're willing to undertake that, Secretary, it's all yours.
Well, in humor, Representative McLaughlin, I'm not sure I understand the question. Our roads are always dry year-round, so I'm not sure what you're driving at there.
Are you a public relations
I dabble in PR on this side. We did have segments of both I-29 and I-90 closed overnight. We had some terrible conditions in some locations. Many of the problems and the accidents that we were experiencing, particularly late yesterday when we were closing those down, were due to visibility and cars either just driving right into the ditch because they couldn't see, or situations where cars were hitting a whiteout and stopping and getting rear-ended by the next car. All the interstates are now open. I think the last segment up going north to the North Dakota line was opened at 9 o'clock this morning. So, as soon as that wind died down, our crews were able to get out really early this morning and really get after that. I think the segment, from like Chamberlain going east and then 29 north to Brookings, that opened at about 6:30 or 6:45 this morning. So they got out pretty early and were really able to make some progress there.
Follow-up. Any follow-ups? Well, we hopefully this won't be an ongoing committee discussion as to have a updated road report, but this seems like one of those winners, and, you know, as long as we can keep everyone safe and to their destination in a timely manner, I think you're doing a good job. And the chairwoman Krebs wanted me to acknowledge that the roads are looking good. So
good.
When we last talked.
Thank
so
you.
She wanted to commend you and your staff for being on the ball and getting done things done.
Thank you.
Representative Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I suppose everyone knows that our summer study is on trial tomorrow morning, Senate Bill 1 at 7:45 in 423. So if any of you have testimony, that's the time.
Okay. Senate Transportation tomorrow, we're going to undertake the heavy lifting that the committee did. These were just the style and form that we go through every when the agencies reviewed the update of the statute. Representative Shrimp.
Yeah, I just got a short comment. I want to thank the secretary. A good job be done on the roads up there, whoever's in charge of it. You know, we've been hit harder than anybody else. We've got 7,000 poles down, and we was out without heat or anything for 5 days, and there's going to be 2 or 3 weeks before some of them get on. So you done a real good job up there, and I thank you for it.
Thank you, Representative. If I could, one comment, yep. If you indulge me.
We have some latitude. We have some time.
Yep. We've really seen, and Representative Nostrov asked me about this before we started this morning, we've really seen throughout this event the benefits of having an emergency operations center ongoing during this. I was out there both Saturday and Sunday, and when you see sitting around the table somebody from Department of Social Services who's got a client who has issues and they have no heat, no water, and electricity, and they're sitting next to talking to somebody from the National Guard who's got the equipment to get to those people, and somebody from DOT is sitting there and arranging for a staging location for the Guard, and the Game Fish and Parks is there because they've got some drivers. You really see the benefit of getting everybody around the same table. The representative's question for me this morning was whether or not he or anybody else could stop out and take a look at those operations, and we would welcome anybody. It's out at the new DCI building, and we had some legislators stop in this weekend just to see what goes on in one of those EOCs and how they operate, and we'd welcome that, anybody who has an interest in seeing that. So thank you.
Further questions or comments to Representative Ironclad?
Thank you. My question is the communities in here in South Dakota, do they have a emergency response team that's been actively active in the different areas? I guess that's kind of a broad question, but I guess I want to find out, you know, what communities are doing that really works. I mean, organizing and, you know, banding together and getting ready for emergencies.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, every county in the state has a designated emergency manager who kind of coordinates the activities within that county. There are also most of the times the first point of contact and the liaison with the EOC, in particular with the State Office of Emergency Management. I think we have seen during this event, and my experience has been a lot of these individual smaller communities that were particularly hard hit with power issues and some of that have really taken the initiative. You know, we talk about the overall attitude of us in South Dakota being self-reliant. These communities have really taken an active role in getting shelters set up, providing food, providing a warm place for people to go on a community-by-community basis. And then through the emergency management system, the state has been able to provide them the necessary other resources they may need to ensure that they're meeting the needs of their local citizens, whether it be cots and blankets or food or whatever the case may be. Each community does not necessarily have a team like you reference. The Office of Emergency Management did send 4 or 5-man incident management teams up to, I believe they're staged out of Eagle Butte and Mobridge, who are kind of on the ground helping to assess the needs and help coordinate what resources may be needed in those and surrounding locations. And those two teams went up there, I believe, Sunday morning.
Further comments or questions of the committee?
Follow up?
Excuse me. So there's communities out there that are active and organizing when there's no emergency and getting ready for there. And the other question I have also is does the state or any organization give technical support on how to organize or how to, you know, work towards getting ready for an emergency?
Mr. Chairman, if I were starting to get a little bit out of my area of expertise here, but the state's Office of Emergency Management does work very closely with local officials and all the tribes across the state in terms of developing plans and readiness and preparedness training to make sure those communities and those local entities are in a position that when an event like this or some other event would impact them, that they are ready to respond in an appropriate way.
and the OEM, the Office of Emergency Management, is a great resource for those local entities in terms of helping them be prepared to respond to these type of events. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, do you know to what extent FEMA will be involved in patching up some of this disaster?
Mr. Chair, again, I'm not an expert on FEMA. Normally what happens in a general sense with FEMA is once the event is over or close to being done, then we as a state, along with local officials, kind of do a summary gathering of costs and impact from the event, and there's some certain trigger points that you have to pass, and if by gathering the summary information you trip that trigger, so to speak, then that will result in FEMA coming out and doing a further assessment and determining what assistance they may be able to provide. So I think it's probably a little premature at this point to even know whether it would possibly qualify for FEMA assistance event, and if so, what the resources we might expect from FEMA is.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Representative Kopp. We're getting you in the hot seat again here today.
You're
popular this
You know,
term.
And I really debated this morning. I knew I wasn't testifying. I almost didn't come over, but I knew I would miss you guys if I didn't, so...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to say that anybody that hasn't toured their center out east of town, what's the name of that road that's on?
It's out on North Euclid.
North Euclid.
Yep.
That it's well worth the trip out there and the tour. It's quite a facility. It's pretty impressive.
It is very, and the people that are out there are very proud of what they're doing. And my experience has been anytime somebody shows up, it takes about 30 seconds and somebody will take you by the arm and kind of show you around, explain what's going on in the various areas and what all agencies are involved and what they're doing.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Further comments, questions? Well, thank you very much for by and enlightening us on such a... It's kind of a nice day out there. The sun's out. I mean, we're not overcast. So that the committee knows, these two bills, 1006 and 1007, are primed by Chairwoman Madam Chair Krebs, so she'll be carrying it in our caucus. You want to answer any questions in your caucus, Representative Street, if there is any questions, and then help on the floor if we so need? Okay. If anybody else, you know, if you have any questions, we can get to them, but she'll have the talking points. So they're covered. Oh, we did have our other page come in. Would you mind coming to the testifier's desk and introducing yourself, who you are, and where you're from?
My name is Megan Meyer, and it's on. My name is Megan Meyer, and I'm from Pier.
Well, thank you, Megan, for coming and helping us out. With that, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Don't move.
Heard from Representative Kopp, seconded by Representative McLaughlin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. We're adjourned.